Good morning. 37 minutes past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. Bill Meyer with you. So great to have you along. Well, our guest this half hour is Charles Morris. He's the president of Haven Ministries. He has been a broadcast news reporter and bureau chief for United Press International, a press secretary for two former U.S. senators, and he joins us live from Iraq this morning. Good morning, Charles. How are you?
Hey, Bill. I'm doing great, and I'm about 10 miles from Mosul, and the sun is going to be setting in a few minutes on this part of the world.
Wow. Tell us what you are doing there outside of Mosul today, Charles.
Well, this is my third trip. I came the first time a year ago, and I had read an article in the New York Times, Is Christianity Dead or Dying in the Middle East? And I thought, wow, that would be worth finding out. So I looked around, and I found that the one Christian organization that was doing the most in this part of the world was Samaritan's Purse. And they graciously gave me security, helped me, and I thought, this deserves to be a book. So I came back a year ago, and then just this week we have a book out called Fleeing ISIS, Finding Jesus. And it's 100 interviews, so mainly Muslims, but some Yazidis, and some people that would have been nominal Christians, and but they've had amazing experiences. There is a revival going on in this part of the world, if I could use a Western term, Bill.
You know, there is so obviously so much suffering and so much persecution to Christians in the Middle East right now. And, you know, to some, it may seem, you know, that God has abandoned followers of Christ there. But obviously, you have a very different perspective. What have you learned over the past year or so as you were doing research for your book?
Well, obviously, the number of Christians, people who would call themselves Christians, would be a very, very tiny percentage. I'm guessing 97-98% of the people would call themselves Muslims here. But so I just got out of a village that has been liberated. But it was an ancient Christian village that would go back, well, probably 500, 600 A.D., something like that. This would have been a Christian village. And, you know, this would be denominations like Syrian Catholic, Syrian Orthodox. This would be groups that even predate Roman Catholicism. And ISIS, of course, loved to take a town over like that because they want to stamp out Christianity. But these 100 interviews I've been doing that resulted in a book, these are people that have had an encounter with the living Christ, many of them with a dream or vision. I didn't learn that in seminary after I left secular journalism, by the way, Bill. But the Lord is just using dramatic ways here. And then in an area, in a part of the world where there are no Bibles, and if they kill a Bible, somebody gets this dream. And then they have this, like the switch goes on. I'll call it the Holy Spirit speaking to them. They have this great desire to get hold of a Bible, and amazingly, they do find a Bible. And then they start reading, and somehow they're drawn to the Gospels, and they meet that guy that they met in the dream. Now, that's some, not all, but some. And just about 5 minutes ago, I was at this Christian family's house. They don't live there anymore. ISIS had taken it over. But they used the house to dig one of those tunnels, knowing that if the coalition forces would come through, which they did not too many days ago, they would just pop up out of these little tunnels. And it was an amazing experience. And ISIS, you know, we just don't think about this, Bill, in our part of the world. But what we're also not hearing about is just the great misery that's still going on. There's a million people in ISIS, or a million people in Mosul, that don't want to be there. And ISIS is using them as human shields. All day I've been hearing mortar fire. Fighter jets have been coming over. And the next day, probably tomorrow, they're telling me, the first field hospital in all of Iraq, northern Iraq, will be opening. And it's being opened by Samaritan's Purse, in fact. And all these surgeons are coming in from the United States, nurses. They've been training. I went on a security training briefing with them all day yesterday. And they're going to be treating people. Because right now, military are being injured in Mosul, good guys, civilian casualties in Mosul. And it takes 3 hours over a very hot pothole-filled road to get them to the nearest hospital. This is going to save several thousand lives just having this field hospital open up tomorrow.
We appreciate so much the work of Samaritan's Purse and Franklin Graham's commitment to those who are suffering in different parts of the world, and of course their response.
Great organization, Samaritan's Purse.
Aren't they? We've interviewed several of their folks before, after major disasters, and I love what they are doing. They are really being the hands and feet of Christ. And I had no idea they were so active in Iraq. So I'm thank you for letting us know about that. Charles, there used to be 1.5 million Christians in Iraq. What has happened to those numbers in recent years?
Well, I would say those numbers haven't declined so much. But let me tell you what's happened because of ISIS. And I've heard this in China, I've heard it in Cuba, and I've heard this on all three trips to Iraq. The end of Genesis, Joseph speaking to his brothers, what you meant for evil, God has meant for good. And so what's happening is, it's not, you've got the nominal Christians, 1.5 million, some of whom I would call truly born-again believers in Jesus Christ. But for so many of them, I would call them nominal Christians, Christians in name. But when your faith is refined by fire, your faith becomes real. And so ISIS coming through has almost become a touchstone of people finding faith. Like a gold dealer, a friend of mine told me the story of this gold dealer that he interviewed, who left Mosul. The Christians are a minority, but tend to be wealthier than Muslims and Yazidis. Anyway, he gathered up his gold, millions of dollars in gold, put it in his huge Mercedes. It was just weighed down, and he thought he had made it out of Mosul, but he got to a checkpoint that was manned by ISIS. The Kurds had left, and they stripped him of his shoes. They threw them out into the night desert. They saw the gold in the car, and of course they were going to take that. But this guy says, I don't have any of the gold that I had before, and I called myself a Christian, but now I know I'm a Christian. I may have nothing else, but I have Jesus Christ, and he's my Lord and Savior. Those are the kind of stories you're hearing here. Christ is on the move here. And an evangelist friend, because I know we don't have a lot of time, we have technical difficulties reaching you earlier, but like a Christian Arab evangelist told me, Lamont, when I was researching the book, he says, this is the golden age of Islam. And I said, what did he mean by that? He said, in the last few years, more Muslims have become believers in Jesus than in the prior 1,400 years of Muslim history combined. That's what's happening here right now. That's not what the secular media is recording. And that's what I'm trying to just get the word out in this book, because, you know, we got it pretty easy back in North America. And, you know, once you see what the Lord is doing in a place like this, in a combat zone, then you realize maybe he can do something in my heart and in my life as well. And so to that end, we're putting this book out this week, Fleeing ISIS, Finding Jesus.
Very powerful. Our guest is Charles Morris. He's the president of Haven Ministries. We'll have more from Charles live from Iraq after this quick break here on the Faith Radio Network. Welcome back. 48 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer. My guest is Charles Morris. He's the president of Haven Ministries. Charles is live just outside Mosul, Iraq. And Charles, we heard a story yesterday about the how the government of Iraq is welcoming Christians back into the country. Are some actually returning?
Well, they were never thrown out. It's just ISIS came through.
Right, that's what I mean. They're basically saying, come back. We're going to try to provide you security and safety. And so they were saying in one of the, I guess, in the port city of Basra, they were the Iraqi government was saying, you know, we want you to return.
Well, I didn't hear that story myself. I was actually in a security training all day yesterday, but that would make a lot of sense. And the fact is, you know, many people have wanted to get away. A lot of people fled to Europe. Some people are going to Canada. And a lot of those are Christians. But what do they have to come back to? And I'm not just talking about the Christians here. I'm talking about Yazidis and even Muslims. You go back and find that ISIS took over your house or they destroyed your house. I was just in a church a few minutes ago where they shot the doors off this ancient church, beautifully carved wooden church doors. They shot the doors off. They firebombed the inside of the church, hoping to stamp out Christianity. But if you have nothing to come back to, no house, your church is destroyed, then that's going to give you some pause. But you know what? It's like a veterinarian that I talked to the last trip I was here, who was a Christian from Mosul. And he was living as a displaced person in an apartment house, and all his money was gone at this point. And he said, you know, we have ourselves, we have the Lord, and what more do we need? It was just like the gold dealer that I mentioned a minute ago. And it's kind of hard for us to understand, but there are still actually gold dealers in this part of the world. Banking isn't such a big deal. You keep your money in your family. And myself as a father, I would be tasked with hanging on to the money, not to spend on accoutrements for myself, but to pass them on for future generations, whatever wealth my family has been able to accumulate. So that's just part of the culture going on here. It's great that the government has invited Christians to come back who fled, but what are they going to come back to? And I think that gives us as Western Christians an opportunity, as you said a moment ago, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, as you were complimenting Samaritan's Purse, and they certainly deserve our compliments. But I think we can help them do things too. And let me just, there's a little slide here. I got a friend who owns a gold mine. Yes, she owns a gold mine in California where I live. Guess what she's doing right now? She's rolled up her sleeves and she's helping to raise sheep because ISIS came through and shot all the livestock when they took over the Yazidis. Now that's a Christian who's being the hands and feet of Jesus. And I think when you get the stories of what others are doing, it'll encourage you to do more yourself, even if you can't get on an airplane and come and do some kind of relief work here. You can pray, and you can actually help send support, and you can also help those who are doing something on site. And even when you're just giving out food and water, if you do that in the name of Jesus, if you're praying with people when given opportunity, Muslims love to have Christians to pray for them. You can actually pray for them and pray in the name of Jesus. And I even pray that the Lord will show up in a dream for them and that they too will know Jesus.
You know, Charles, that's so stunning to know that there would be Muslims who would be open to that, to a Christian praying for them in Jesus' name. Is that because of the great persecution and danger that so many of these people are in because of ISIS, that they're willing to reach out even to those that the ISIS would consider to be infidels?
Well, I think it's just the nature of Islam. Muslims are they are a people of prayer. They believe in prayer. It's just that the prayers they pray are rote prayers, and they don't really pray any kind of prayer of expectation of a relationship. So they've heard these stories. They've heard rumors that Christians are different, and they're very curious to know about Jesus. They've been taught things about Jesus, wrong things about Jesus. They don't believe he really died on the cross. They believe his body was stolen, and before he died on the cross, his bones are buried somewhere in Palestinian soil today. But if you just bring up prayer, they get excited about that. And when you say, can I pray for you personally, their eyes light up. It makes a huge difference. And, I mean, there are ways to evangelize that just even people who don't think of themselves as evangelists but are followers of Jesus can actually employ. And, you know, it's worth a shot because, you know, I've heard it said that Islam is the fastest growing religion in North America right now. Well, if that's the case, if you've got a Muslim neighbor and you're listening to us right now, why don't you reach out to them and be the hands and feet of Jesus? Why don't you even offer to pray for them and pray with them? You don't have to break out the four spiritual laws. You don't have to ask them to pray the sinner's prayer with you. Just be their friend, but you can openly and honestly say you're being their friend in the name of Jesus, who you serve and you follow. But love them. Love them as Muslims. Let the Lord do the work. His Spirit will. I truly believe that.
It's a great challenge for us, Charles. We actually have neighbors across the street who are Muslim from Pakistan, and we've been trying to befriend them through their, through our kids becoming friends with their children. And we haven't, you know, taken the step to, you know, talk about faith with them yet, but that's maybe something that's coming down the road. Before we go, tell us a little bit, just briefly, about the mission of Haven Ministries.
We are an 82-year-old Christian broadcast, and we've done things like what I'm doing right now for 82 years. So we're actually inviting people to come to our website, and if they want to make a relief gift, we're passing it on Samaritan's Purse. We don't take a handling fee like most organizations would. We're passing that on, and then if they want to send us a little gift, we'll send them a copy of this brand-new hardback book called Fleeing ISIS, Finding Jesus.
You've got some great videos on the website, too, Charles. I visited the site yesterday, and kudos to you on just making American Christians aware of what's happening there in the Middle East right now. So where do you go from here?
Well, kudos go to the guy sitting behind me crammed in a Land Cruiser, because he's the videographer that shot all that great footage. Going to go up more, a little closer to the Syria border and the Turkish border. Going to actually visit Mount Sinjar and do some programming out of there. That's where ISIS was trying to pick off the Yazidi people on the mountainside. And so we're just going to, I'm going to be visiting more people that have managed to escape ISIS and hearing more stories of people who've met Jesus. So thanks for asking, Bill.
Once again, Charles' new book, which is just out, is called Fleeing ISIS, Finding Jesus. You can find out more about it at the Haven Ministries website. Charles Morris, thanks so much for your time today and for your commitment to letting us know what's happening there with the Christian faith actually alive and well in Iraq.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Blessings to you, Bill.